Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you are enjoying these studies, help us get the message out and share them with your friends. Remember to support Beth Emmanuel with your tithes and offerings by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
The Jewish people have a tradition of pouring a cup for Elijah at the Passover Seder. Here's what happens. At the conclusion of the recitation of the grace after meals, everyone at the table drinks the third of four cups of the Passover Seder. Then the fourth cup gets poured, but before drinking it, an additional cup is poured for Elijah. And this happens immediately before the recitation of the last Psalms of Hallel, Psalm 116 through 118. Nobody drinks the cup because that's Elijah's cup. Someone goes to the door to take a look outside and just to check to see if Elijah is coming. If he is, that's good news, because it means that the redemption has started and the Messiah will be right behind him. If Elijah isn't there, three passages from the Bible are read before continuing with the Seder. Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Psalm 79, 6-7. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. Psalm 69, 25. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. Lamentations 3:66. We don't know how far back the tradition of pouring a cup for Elijah goes, and we don't know when people at Seders started reciting these three passages of Scripture, but it's probably the most messianic moment in the entire Seder meal. It amounts to a proclamation of the gospel. Let's take a few steps back and ask, why do we pour a cup for Elijah in the first place? According to the most common explanation, the cup of Elijah relates to a difference of opinion among the sages about whether or not we should drink four cups or five cups at a Passover Seder. The Talmud connects the tradition of drinking four cups at a Seder to the four expressions of redemption in Exodus 6, 6-7. Cup 1, sanctification, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Cup 2, deliverance, I will deliver you from their bondage. Cup 3, redemption, I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Cup 4, betrothal, I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. The Midrash Rabbah explains, the sages accordingly ordained four cups to be drank on the eve of Passover to correspond with these four expressions in order to fulfill the verse in Psalm 116:13, I will lift up the cup of salvations and call upon the name of the Lord. Exodus Rabbah 6:4. In other words, the four cups of Passover are collectively known as one single cup. That is the Kos Yeshuot, the cup of salvations. It's a name taken from the Hallel, from Psalm 116, the section of Hallel which is read after pouring the last cup and the cup of Elijah. I love the fact that the four cups of Passover are understood to be tokens of the redemption, and that they are collectively called the cup of salvations. It makes our Master's words even more significant when he declares over the Kos Yeshuot, the cup of salvations, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Matthew 26:28, 1 Corinthians 11:25. Not just in remembrance of the past, but also in remembrance of the future redemption. As he says, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Matthew 26:29. Rabbi Shmuel Yaffe Ashkenazi says that the four cups hint at the redemption and teach about the future redemption. In other words, the four expressions of redemption apply not only to the Exodus from Egypt, but also to the future. And the same is true for the whole celebration of Passover. The Exodus from Egypt was a dress rehearsal for the final redemption. So that's the meaning of the four cups, the Kos Yeshuot. But what if there were five cups? The sages observed that if you keep reading, Exodus 6:8 contains a fifth expression of redemption. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Exodus 6:8. So why stop with four when the passage continues with five? And possessing the land of Israel is a big part of messianic expectation and the meaning of salvation. The Messiah is going to gather Israel and bring the people of Israel back to the land that God swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The ingathering of Israel is arguably the most important part of the final redemption. If you don't get the ingathering, you don't get the redemption. The ingathering of Israel is the most frequently repeated prophecy in the entire Bible. When the apostles talked about the Messiah bringing salvation, this is what they had in mind. He's going to bring the redemption and gather the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. Think of John 10:16. Think about that sequence of redemption for a moment. 1. I will bring you out from under your burdens. 2. I will deliver you from slavery. 3. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. 4. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. 5. I will bring you to the land promised to the forefathers. That's a snapshot of the salvation from Egypt, but it's also a summary of the salvation the New Testament is talking about when the apostles speak of finding salvation in the name of Yeshua. This is what the apostles have in mind, a national salvation as promised to the prophets. You shall call him Yeshua because he will save his people. The Messiah will bring Israel out from under the burdens of the nations, such as the Roman oppression. And the Messiah will deliver Israel from slavery to foreign powers, from foreign nations like Rome. And the Messiah will redeem Israel with a powerful outstretched arm by bringing great acts of judgment on those nations. And the Messiah will restore the relationship between God and his people so that everyone will know he is the Lord. And to add a fifth, the Messiah will bring the Jewish people back to the promised land by gathering all the exiles. That's how the apostles understood salvation. That's how Yeshua understood salvation. That's what they meant by the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The good news message was not about getting out of hell so you can go to heaven when you die. It was about the redemption of Israel and God's judgment upon the nations. If that's the case, you might wonder, at what point did we start thinking about salvation as salvation from hell? We'll come back to that. For now, we are still trying to understand the four cups so that we can understand the cup of Elijah, which seems to be a fifth cup. Here's the contention. If the four cups really correspond to the expressions of redemption, there should be five cups, not four. But the tradition says that you have four cups at the Seder, not five. No one was drinking five cups. Some people felt you should, or that the fifth cup should at least be optional, and there was a dispute. When there's an unresolved question in Jewish law, it's common to say, when Elijah comes, he will settle the question. And by saying, when Elijah comes, we are really talking about when Messiah comes, because Elijah is coming to herald the Messiah. You need to understand that the idiom, when Elijah comes, is short for when Elijah comes to herald the Messiah. It's the Messiah who is supposed to resolve all the difficulties in the Torah and clarify all the obscure passages and reconcile the seeming contradictions and explain the hidden meanings. He will do so to such an extent that it will be as if he gives a whole new Torah. It's called the New Torah, or the Torah of Messiah. It's not a different Torah. He doesn't abolish the Torah of Moses or change it out with a different Torah, but he does explain the Torah and reveal its secrets. Therefore, he will also be able to resolve all the legal questions, such as, should we add a fifth cup to the Seder since there are five expressions of redemption? According to this idea, the fifth cup is called the cup of Elijah because it represents an unresolved legal question left to be resolved when Messiah comes. You don't drink the fifth cup because we won't know whether or not you should drink the fifth cup until the Messiah comes and makes a ruling on the question. Before that can happen, Elijah has to come and herald the Messiah. Here's what it says in Sefer Divrei Eliyahu, the Book of the Words of Elijah, on this subject. Behold, we have the practice to also pour a fifth cup, which is called the cup of Elijah, the prophet. The reason for this comes from a disagreement in the Talmud about the need for a fifth cup. The rule was not settled, but when Elijah comes, he will clarify the doubt. Therefore, we pour and provide the cup, but we do not drink from it. It is called the cup of Elijah. For when he comes, he will clarify all doubt, and also this doubtful matter about the fifth cup. That's the common explanation. But if that's really the reason for the fifth cup, the cup of Elijah, why is it poured prior to the drinking of the fourth cup? Wouldn't it make more sense if it's a fifth cup, corresponding to the fifth expression? Wouldn't it make more sense to pour this cup after the people at the table drink the fourth cup? Then they could conclude the Seder by pouring a cup for Elijah and saying, next year in Jerusalem. Why put the alleged fifth cup before the fourth cup? There's a difficulty with adding a fifth cup. The difficulty is that the four expressions of redemption in Exodus 6 are not the only reason that there are four cups at the Passover Seder. When the Jerusalem Talmud discusses the symbolism behind the four cups of the Passover Seder, it offers the four expressions of redemption in Exodus 6 as merely the first in a series of explanations behind the symbolism of the four cups. Yehoshua ben Levi offers a completely different explanation. He points out that the word cup is mentioned four times in the Torah's story about the dream of Pharaoh's cupbearer, which, if you think about it, is a messianic dream with apocalyptic imagery. In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's kos, his cup, was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's kos, and placed the kos in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph explains, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's kos, his cup, in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. So now we have two different explanations for the four cups at the Seder. The four expressions of redemption in Exodus 6, and the four cups in the dream of Pharaoh's cupbearer in Genesis 40. Rabbi Levi gives a totally different explanation for the four cups. He says that the four cups at the Seder correspond to the four kingdoms that have subjugated the Jewish people in exile: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. These are the four kingdoms in Daniel's visions. We can discuss that at another time, but notice that at this point, the conversation has left the Exodus from Egypt behind. The four cups are no longer being interpreted as remembrances of the Exodus from Egypt. The four cups are now talking about redemption from the nations and the future redemption from exile. If you're keeping count, we now have three explanations for the four cups. The four expressions in Exodus 6, the four cups in the cupbearer's dream in Genesis 40, and the four nations that subjugate the Jewish people in exile as described in the book of Daniel. Then the Talmud comes and dismisses all of these explanations. The rabbis say the four cups at the Seder actually correspond to the four cups of wrath that the Holy One, blessed be He, will pour out upon the nations at the final redemption, and also to the four cups of consolation that He will offer to Israel at the redemption. Okay, so wrath and consolation. Let's do the cups of wrath that He will pour out on the nations first. Cup number one. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of wine of wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. Jeremiah 25:15. Cup number two. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. Jeremiah 51:7. Cup number three. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and He pours out of this. Surely, all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. Psalm 75:8. Cup number four. Upon the wicked, He will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. Psalm 11:6. The Gemara asks, what is meant by the portion of their cup? It means a double-sized cup. Like the double-sized cup one drinks after the bathhouse. So in other words, it's a Super America big gulp. The Talmud continues with the four cups of consolation. The four cups of the Seder correspond to four cups of consolation that the Holy One, blessed be He, will give to Israel in the future. Cup number one. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Psalm 16:5. Cup number two. And You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23:5. Cup number three and cup number four. I shall lift up the cup of salvations. That is plural, salvations. So two cups. And call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 116:13. So to summarize, the four cups of the Seder are more about the future than the past. They are not so much about the Exodus from Egypt as they are about the final redemption and God's coming wrath upon the nations. The Kos Yeshuot, the cup of salvations, symbolizes the coming messianic redemption. You can't really add a fifth cup to that. You certainly don't want to add a fifth nation, a fifth oppressor, or a fifth exile. And this also explains why the cup of Elijah is poured out before Hallel. Why do we say Hallel at the Seder meal? The Babylonian Talmud explains that we recite the Hallel because these psalms discuss five essential matters that we want to mention on Passover. Number one, the Exodus from Egypt. Psalm 114:1 says, when Israel went forth from Egypt. Number two, the splitting of the Red Sea. Psalm 114:3 says, the sea saw it and fled. Number three, the giving of the Torah. Psalm 114:4 says, the mountains skip like rams. Notice that these three passages all belong to the first part of Hallel. Psalms 113 and 114, which is recited early in the Seder, before the meal is served. All three of them refer to the Exodus from Egypt, the Passover of the past. After the meal, the Seder continues with the Hallel, picking it up in Psalm 115, because we are shifting our attention to look toward the Passover of the future, where we will find, number four, the birth pangs of Messiah. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, Psalm 115:1. And number five, the resurrection of the dead. You have delivered my soul from death. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living, Psalm 116, verse 9. The Talmud explains that Psalm 115 refers to the war of Gog and Magog. At that time, Israel prays for deliverance, not for her own sake, but for the sake of God's name, saying, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. According to your devotion, according to your truth, why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?'" This is the same thing as the Master telling us to pray, "Let your kingdom come, let your name be sanctified." As it says in Ezekiel 36:22-28, "It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I sanctify myself among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God." Ezekiel 36:22-28. This passage in Ezekiel is quickly followed by the resurrection of the dead. As Ezekiel continues, "I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people." Ezekiel 37:12-13. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak adds a corollary reason for reciting Hallel at the Seder. He says, "Because it contains reference to the deliverance of the souls of the righteous from Gehenna, as it says in Psalm 116:4, I beseech you, Lord, deliver my soul." This deliverance from Gehenna is part of the same redemption and part of the resurrection of the righteous for eternal life. This deliverance from Gehenna is part of the same redemption and part of the resurrection of the righteous for eternal life. This is where we find your eternal life and escape from hell part of salvation that I mentioned earlier. But these eternal destinies are only a part of the total picture. As a bonus, it should now be clear why the Passover Haggadah splits the Hallel into two separate readings at the Passover Seder. The Haggadah would have us read Psalm 113-114 earlier in the Seder while discussing the Exodus from Egypt, because those Psalms are about the Exodus from Egypt. The Haggadah has us read Psalm 115-118 later in the Seder, because those Psalms are about the final redemption, the Passover of the future. Now we have come to the real meaning of the cup of Elijah. And the cup of Elijah gets poured before beginning Psalm 115. Not so much over uncertainty of whether or not to pour the cup, or uncertainty about whether or not to add a fifth cup. We look for Elijah at this point in the Seder, not because we are hoping he can settle this question, but because we want him to come herald Messiah and the final redemption. We want him to herald the Messiah who is going to pour out four cups of God's wrath upon the nations, the cup of salvations. This also explains those cryptic passages that are recited while pouring the cup for Elijah and checking the door for Elijah. When the Jewish people pray, "Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you," Psalm 79:6-7, "pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them," Psalm 69:25, and so forth, it is a prayer asking God to bring the second Passover of the final redemption. The people at the Seder table are asking him to send Elijah to herald the Messiah, and they're even pouring a cup for Elijah, which is ultimately a cup for the Messiah. It should be called the cup of Messiah, because Elijah is to the Messiah as the cupbearer is to Pharaoh. He is not going to drink the cup himself. He is going to put the cup of Elijah into the hand of the Messiah, and the Messiah is going to pour out God's wrath on the nations, as it says in Psalm 115, "Not for our sake, not for Israel's sake, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, according to your devotion, according to your truth." The cup of Elijah is the cup of Messiah. The cup of Messiah is the Kos Yeshuot, the cup of salvations. It begins with the birth pangs of the Messiah, the tribulation of God's wrath upon the nations, and the war of Gog and Magog. But it ultimately ends with the redemption, the resurrection of the dead, eternal life, and the establishment of the kingdom. That's the Kos Yeshuot, the cup of salvations, and the cup of Elijah. And it's the gospel message. Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.